Hey guys, welcome to Stock Talk. This is a very different episode you're about to listen to. Selection Sunday at the Indiana State Fair that happened this past Sunday. Although you're listening to it on Wednesday, of course, we have a lot of content that you guys did not get to hear. So this is what you're going to hear during this episode. We got to get a few of the judges before they jumped into the ring. And Corey, I hate to tell you this, but I kind of goofed up a little bit.
No. Really?
Yeah. The Mark Alam judge, I kind of lost his audio.
Way to go.
Yeah. So we have the GOAT judge. You're going to hear from her, which there's a really cool story behind that. You're going to hear from the Barra judges. And you're going to hear a little excerpt from some of their speeches, and we'll kind of go from there. But before we jump into all of that, as always, this whole thing was made possible to the world by Walton Webcasting.
I don't know how that was, but sound okay? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you did not watch the Indiana State Fair Grand Drive, which we are calling Selection Sunday, on Walton Webcasting, and you want to do that, see what animals were picked, you can still do so. Just go and subscribe, be a Walton Webcasting subscriber. Go and watch the archives and check back and look at all the happenings. Very, very high quality show this past weekend at the Indiana State Fair. They're going to be at Illinois State Fair here this weekend. And so there's lots of things that you guys can catch up on and watch. Make sure to tune in to WaltonWebcasting.com. Check out StockCenter.tv for all their cool and informative and unique, interesting content that has been put together by probably one of the most talented and underrated people in the show stock industry. And he's actually not a livestock guy by trade, but Mr. Greg Allen is the video producer over there, does a lot of their creative work. On the Road with Greg. Go and please follow Walton Webcasting. They're doing a lot of cool things for us. We're doing a lot of cool things for them. We would not want our partnership to go any other way. So, thank you.
Corey, I do have a little social smash that is very relative to this topic. My boss, Rusty Bingham, everybody knows him as LVS. Rusty B had a social smash, and it pertains to Walton Webcasting. So, we always get video or people wanting videos like, hey, do you have a video of that boar you just bought at the show? Or, hey, can you send me a video of that one while or a picture of him at the backdrop or whatever? Why don't you buy a subscription at Walton? Oh. And you can see the entire show and see what he was against. And hello, makes it that much easier. Get your subscription. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Thank you.
Social smash.
Social smash. That was fast. We got a Walton read and a social smash in at the same time in the first 3 minutes. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it just kind of fit, you know. Like I said, this is going to be a different episode, folks.
Swole job, so. Swole job, Kirky. Man, yeah, lots of cool things happened at the Indiana State Fair to us this weekend. This past weekend, I should say.
I tell you.
Fun times.
Let's just give a nice round of applause to our buddy Spencer Morris for putting on the whole entire thing. I mean, wow.
Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent work, him and his crew. Oh man, I mean, if I'm sure the whole world was watching, but if you haven't seen that deal, unbelievable. It truly was the OIE of the Midwest.
Yep.
And as you'll kind of hear, and when we talked to our buddy from Oklahoma who judged the Barras, he kind of giggled but said, you know, for the territory that this thing's in, it's pretty legit.
Yep.
So
yeah, there's something to be said though about at least trying. And Spencer, literally that night when we were running around trying to figure out what the heck we were going to do, you know, he took the time out of his busy schedule to come over during one of the species selections and said, "Hey guys, you doing all right?" And for that man to just—I mean, we're a small fry in the grand scheme of that.
We're one of those burnt crispy ones at the bottom of the McDonald's fry cup thing.
Yeah, the kind that like you don't even reach your hand in to pull out. you just know it's there.
And, or maybe it slides through the corner of the bottom, you know, right. That little hole.
Yeah, ends up on your floorboard and we're still there.
Yeah. and what's stinking? It's been 4 months and this thing still stinks. That's stock talk. Yeah. We're down here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what else could have happened to make that more perfect. I mean, that was kudos to those guys. Man, the Indiana State Fair is doing some cool things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we are going to have a conversation. We didn't get to catch Mr. Steerwalt, but we are going to have a conversation with him on what he thought about the Slick Steer division. And
yes,
you know, we're gonna have an episode with Kirk here probably sooner rather than later. But
and we also talked to a bunch of other folks about. I mean, we scheduled or at least got their foot in the door with some really high level people. Yep. And they really want to do it. But as that night kind of progressed, it got a little crazy and everybody kind of went in 5 million different directions. So one thing I want to point out to our listeners, Corey, is this is not crystal clear audio like we typically have on a Wednesday.
True.
We were literally, if you watch the drive on Walton, you can see we were literally in the middle of the Coliseum and we had our mic set up. The music was pretty loud in the background. So it's a little muffled. It's a little banged up, but the content, listen to what these folks have to say. That's going to be the gold. But I feel like I should apologize. We did some testing, but somehow what we heard that night sounds very different from what you're going to hear tonight. So it's going to be muffled. It's going to be banged up, but the content, what was said is the true value behind it.
Correct. Correct. I mean, unique things happened at the Grand Drive. And when I say unique, I mean, Trev, I say we go ahead and let this rip here on our first little interview. We got the chance at the Indiana State Fair to witness history. For the first time, a female evaluator stepped in and selected a grand champion market animal in the ring for the goat division.
I thought that was badass.
Yep. So here we go. First interview from the selection Sunday evening. Listen up.
Catherine, welcome to Grand Drive Selection Sunday here in Indianapolis. Tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all. And then one fun fact, I found out this evening you are the first female judge to select grand champion goat in the Coliseum, correct?
Wow. So I've been told, yes. Yeah, that's awesome. I was made aware as well. So a little about me, born and bred 4-H FFA member. My mom was our 4-H agent, so pretty much from conception, grew up in the livestock industry. She didn't show, my dad didn't show, but we got into lambs pretty early on, 3-4 years old. Progressively got better in the lambs and moved over to goats and did goats and lambs as well. Actually, my favorite was probably my last 2 years, and we can show until we're 21 in Kentucky, so that wasn't too long ago. And I had a couple of pigs, and those are the guys I really miss the most, honestly.
That's good. Awesome. Hey, no, honestly, judging these goats now anymore is almost like looking at little bears at some point in time.
Because yeah, so what we tell our judging kids is we want a pig body on a sheep frame.
Bingo.
And you get a pretty perfect goat.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
With steer legs.
So yes. you're from Kentucky.
Yes.
What's your role there?
So my big kid job, or my 9-to-5, is I manage the North American there in Louisville.
Oh, wow.
I also do the livestock for our state fair coming up in a week and a half now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is leading to a larger interview, yes. Just so you know, at some point in time.
Not a problem.
Hey, tonight, though, the atmosphere here in this building is insane, and we didn't know whether we're going to be interviewing judges before the grand drive, after, all that kind of stuff. What is your perception of being able to step in the ring and sort through a state fair show as competitive as Indiana is?
You know, I'm nervous as heck, to be completely honest. I brought my mom with me. She's lucky enough to get to travel with me a few places this year. And she asked me what was I going to say, that she was really anxious to hear. And I said, yeah, me too. So it's not fully fleshed out, but I've got an idea. But it is extremely exciting. I mean, the air is just electric around here. In Kentucky, we were lucky enough to start our own championship drive, kind of modeled after this one last year.
Yeah.
Was our first one. And so coming from that into this, I kind of had an expectation, but not having to be kind of in Spencer's role actually running the thing, it's a whole lot different. It's just the amount of nerves. On that side, you don't have enough time to be nervous. You just got to get them in,
right.
And make sure that your judges don't talk too long so that everybody leaves. And so I've got you, Spencer. I'm not going to talk too long.
I'm sure he'd be pleased when he hears this podcast.
Yeah.
He'll be happy you said that. Now you have to live up to it. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay. So going back and thinking about the lineup that you judged, is there one? I mean, obviously we're before the grand drive. This isn't going to air till Wednesday, so people
okay,
listen
so
to this.
Okay, so we're safe.
It's Wednesday.
We're safe.
All right.
Do you have one that stands out in your mind?
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I think there's all six of those. It was a really competitive show, but I think there's one that stands out pretty easily
awesome.
In my mind.
That's awesome.
What was the coolest moment during your time judging the Goat Show? What was the coolest moment that you experienced?
Coolest moment?
Besides tonight.
Besides now? What?
Yeah.
I guess being made aware that I was the first woman to come here, that was extremely gratifying, I guess, and very humbling for all the women that have come before me that haven't gotten into this point. I know there's a lot that are extremely well qualified and probably even more so than I am at some points, and so I'm just extremely grateful for that.
This may be a challenging question. If it is, we'll save it for a real interview.
Okay.
If you will.
All right. So I'll just wuss out and say, okay, let's save that for later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no problem. We actually did have a young lady that was turned down because a roundabout way, they weren't sure that a female was ready to do their show. So coming from a judge who's here at the big stage, what would you tell maybe some of those female judges coming up? I'm not saying they're all that way, obviously.
Yeah.
Your proof that they're more than qualified. What would you tell some of those that needed a little bit of encouragement?
Great question.
I guess that is a challenging question. I didn't know about that, and that's a shame that she was turned down for that. I guess the main point and kind of what I was talking over with interview with Walton and stuff was to be authentic.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one thing is to not say what's not in front of you. And make sure that you're honest. I mean, every judging coach, the first thing they tell you when you go into a reasons room is do not lie.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's the number one thing that you've got to do day in and day out is no matter if they agree with how you're placing them, as long as they can see what you're telling them, then you're fine.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. And, I mean, I don't want to spell out the young lady. I mean, she was very positive about it, and we kind of replied in our own way, say, hey, keep your head up. I'm sure you're qualified.
Absolutely.
And
just
I'm
keep
not,
going.
Just because she was female, maybe that's the wrong wording, but she was discouraged, and, I mean, I hope she hears this. I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
I hope she does as well, because that shouldn't stand in your way.
No,
just keep going.
Not one bit.
And for our listeners, this was a story that was submitted to Trevor and I via email.
Yes.
And it was a county fair. It wasn't state fair or anything like that. But, you know, the opportunity that's afforded to people, and I think it doesn't matter if you're female, male, whatever. I think your skill set and your talent and your ability to see livestock will allow you to get to the level you want to be at.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're 21, just, you know, 22, fresh out of college, or if you've been doing it for years and you're just trying to find your footing. You know, at some point in time, you're going to get the call if you work hard enough for it. So speaking of getting the call, what was it like when you were asked?
So I've judged here a couple of times now. This is my third year. I did the Boar Goats, the open show, and they had a jackpot a couple of years ago that I did. Spencer had kind of said, hey, this may come up later, just be prepared. And so I had it in the back of my mind that this is something I really wanted to do, was to be able to come here and be in this grand drive. But when he actually called me and said, hey, we're going to get you to do weathers this year, I mean, it was unreal that this is a big stage and that a lot of things ride on this night.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. As you can hear in the background, we're getting ready to kick it off here at the 2019 Indiana State Fair. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck tonight. Have fun.
Thank you.
All right.
Special stuff, huh, Trev?
Yeah, when we were sitting there talking to her, I just kept thinking about the young lady we mentioned and some of the young ladies that are getting to judge. And I'm not going to say they don't have a fair shake because, you know, times are really good now and everybody's very, very, very talented and skillful. But for that young person that may be thinking, you know, there's all male judges out there, I don't have a chance. Well, there's living proof. And she did it at a very high level. Her speech was awesome. And honestly, Corey, the goat that wins that thing's probably my favorite piece of livestock of the entire show. All
species. We're going to go there. We're going to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that thing was nuts. I mean, you had to be there in person. I'm sure he looked like a gangster on video. But in person, that thing is more massive than half the sheep that showed in the grand drive.
Yeah, what I thought was funny was she said that she teaches her kids that you kind of want a pig body on a sheep frame when you're trying to study goats. That thing truly had just as big of a chest floor as some of the Berras and a hip and leg that was massive. And then everything fit together. And there was, you know, usually you get those goats that the transition behind their shoulder and into their fore ribs, like pretty severe. That thing was very, very, very good there. I mean, I didn't handle it. I'm not a very knowledgeable goat evaluator, but my untrained eye could find that one, I think.
Yeah. Just the time and the fit job on that one, I thought was funny. The Goedermiller kid showed that one. So
yes.
Had a goat showing a goat.
And that one was bred by
Kedrick Miller.
There you go.
Yeah. Kedrick also agreed to jump on the podcast. Said he's an avid listener. So that's exciting.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them. So, all right, Trev, the goat was your favorite. I'm going to be, we're just going to go like favorites of the ones that were selected, right?
Sure.
Okay. That's pretty tough. Thought the shows were really good. I could let my sheep bias take over because I thought that was a very good market lamb drive. I'm going to do this out of bias as well. The Supreme Champion Heifer, the Sim Solution female. I'm just going to say that was my favorite for two reasons. Is I had the chance to commentate that whole breed on Walton Webcasting by myself. And when that thing came in class, for as little as I am involved in the cattle industry, which is pretty much zero, I just have some good friends that have done some winning. And I'm a cattle enthusiast. I'm a livestock enthusiast. But then I see this thing walk in for her class. And there's, I think, six in her class, and it's like pretty clear cut that she needs to win. But I did make the comment during class that, boy, I think Lampy really likes this one, and for a good reason. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And then they end up coming together and picking her for your grand champion heifer. And with that many breeds and that high quality of a group of females, I thought, really cool thing to be able to see that one that early.
Yep. No, you were telling me before the show even started, you're like, boy, I got to commentate that before you got here. And I think I found one that may be in contention.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Why don't we give our listeners just a little excerpt of what was said, and that'll kind of share the passion of what these judges had to say.
That's the thing. This is family. All of us in this industry, whatever species that you're involved in, it's about family. Yes, we step in the ring on show day, and we compete against each other. We want to beat each other. No doubt. Because competition brings out a lot of the best. I don't like to dwell on the worst of competition, but the best. It brings that spirit, that work ethic out in you. Because you want to strive to succeed. And that's what this teaches our kids, that the lessons in life, you're not always going to win. And youngsters, you're not always going to win. So cherish this moment that you're out here, and even the reserves. Because as you get older, challenges become greater. Society challenges become greater. And we are facing some times in society today that are going to be even more challenging. This is why this events like this are so special. Because we are grooming these kids to help change some of the things that are going on in the world. That's why we are a family. We are an ag family. And our cattle family is rich because we take care of each other in times of need. That's why this is special to me. And that's why I'm so humbled over the years that my peers have allowed me the opportunity, just like tonight, to come out here and select a Supreme Champion female.
But through hard work, through perseverance, and learning from people, you know, like each other, it's pushed us to continue to get better every day. So, kids, that's the message I'm going to leave you with here tonight. I want you to thank everybody that's helped you get to this point and that's going to continue, because these same people that helped you get here are going to continue to help you for the rest of your life. Once you get married and once you have kids and you have a family of your own, I tell you what, Lydell, let's go give a kid a moment that they're not going to forget for a long time.
Speaking of that heifer you called your favorite, there's part of the heifer drive there at the Indiana State Fair.
So, other shows were awesome too. I mean, the sheep were incredible. The goats were incredible. Hog show was, the purebreds were so deep.
Hey, speaking of hogs, why don't we go ahead and share with the folks what was said in our interview with them before they even stepped in the ring. So without further ado, here's Brandon and Jeremy.
Ladies and gentlemen, in front of us are standing two gentlemen that have put in blood, sweat, and tears all weekend to get your barrows sorted. And I will tell you this, sitting ringside as a spectator, two guys that were easy to follow, two guys that for some reason meshed extremely well. And I just thought did a phenomenal job all weekend. Jeremy Cantrell and Mr. Brandon Oak, thank you for showing up to be with us here. Man, what an event. This is going to be exciting. Are you guys a little nervous? We're talking to these guys, by the way, before they judge the Grand Bear Drive.
We're literally sitting in the middle of the Coliseum right now.
So. About an hour from tip-off, roughly.
Yeah. So what's your feelings? Is this your, obviously not, Brandon, you've been here before?
Yeah, this is my second year, so I feel a little bit like a veteran. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is, and I mean, we can both legitimately say this, I mean, usually going into Grand Drive, we have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a pretty good idea, but it's amongst two or three or four. I mean, you're going to have to put them all out here together and see how it shakes out.
Now, here's what we can do, because we have the platform to do this, and this thing isn't going to air until Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Can you expose the two or three or four just to us guys standing?
Hey, this has been a dogfight from day one. The moment that those first breeds started to come in, it was stout. And so I think the fly in the ointment, if you will be some of those breed hogs.
Yeah.
There's honestly the miners could wreck the day if everything works out, because they were stout. And, you know, you paint them a different color, you give them a different air set, and there's not much difference.
Yeah, good ones are good ones.
Good ones are good
ones. Right.
So I would say that it's anyone's ball game at this point, and we're more than excited to get them in the ring together and start breaking them down and building them back
up. Absolutely. Kind of an off-the-wall question, it'd be easy to answer, but the ring in the swine barn here at the Indiana State Fair, quite smaller than the ring you're getting ready to judge in. Do you see that being, as far as depth perception, changing the game a little bit? Or, I mean, the hogs are hogs, or what do you think?
It could. I mean, I mean, it's most definitely going to be a different view. But, I mean, after kind of doing it last year, I don't know if it's as much as some let on. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's a different surface.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
the surface more so than the size. I mean, you guys kind of know what them hogs can react different ways to those.
Yep.
Just some new feeling.
Exactly.
And that's what you cross your fingers and hope one of those big boys don't get out there and get the hot stepping.
Yeah, I would echo what Brandon said. We're probably more concerned with the surface and just the depth of it. So sometimes that plays tricks on hogs that might not have been exposed to this type of arena.
Yeah, and that goes without saying, too. You got a couple species before you, so that may chop up the surface, too.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure they take care of it. But
as you can see, we're not going to answer what breeds.
Yeah, no, I know. We've done an
incredible job of bypass and blowing right by that.
Oh yeah, we tested you. Good job.
Yeah, well done, assholes.
Well, you never know. I mean, there was a crossbred barrow that I was extremely high on, and then, I mean, I didn't tell Jeremy about him. I wanted him to kind of have a blind eye, and we came back after lunch. It was a little bit of a different ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't in our top two spots. I'm not sure what happened, but I would have bet quite a bit there going in that one would have would have had a say in some things. I don't know what happened. I mean, it just didn't look as good.
Yeah. You stop and think on how competitive this state is, and just across the country, the show pig world is on fire. People are figuring it out. They're spending more money on their animals, on facilities, on the preparation of them, on just the feed additives, the supplements. People are mastering their trade.
Yeah.
And so not only is it going to be what pig looks the best that day, but we're starting to get down to the minute on which hog filled right, which one cooperated, which one gave the right speed, the right headset. It's the little devil details that sort one, two, three, or
you
four, or five.
You can ask the multi-species guide that shows the cattle, the sheep, and they have them all in the same barn. I'd venture to guess all of them would say hogs can change the quickest.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that before, and I mean, I can't answer because I'm not a multi-species guy, but you're right. I mean, to the minute.
You know, we had a bad outbreak of a horrible virus at our state fair last spring, and that was one of the most humbling experiences I've ever been a part of, because the second that you think everything is right with your animal, 5 minutes later, they're getting sick.
That's
a helpless feeling for those kids, and just to see the heartbreak in those kids to get all the way to that day, to the day that they have been waiting for from the moment that they got their projects in, and for something like that to just erupt across the barns. That was one experience that I'll probably never forget, and one of the more saddening experiences I've been a part of since I've been involved with this industry.
On the flip side of hogs changing quick, what's amazing to me is the amount of bears that went through the show ring in Louisville 3 weeks ago that showed up to the Indiana State Fair and were game changers. I mean, they went from looking one way to looking better, and I just think it's so cool the way that people have been able to manage hogs over that amount of period of time to be competitive at a national level show and then come be competitive at their state fair, I think is super impressive as well.
Yeah, and see, that's one thing you guys would legitimately be able to answer better than I, because I've avoided bear shows like the plague all summer. That's the thing too, and I was going to touch on this, is that, you know, those bears and stuff that are rolling in here, and you mentioned talking about those shows, and I have avoided. It'll be nice to get some of my friends from Indiana, and even breeders have avoided me. Like, and I'm going to mention this in Grand Drive, is that with social media presence and conspiracy theories, and there's not as many of them as people want us to think, but a few bad apples can be heard, which is sad.
Yep.
But it's way more the opposite than what people think. If they're going to try to tell you, it's totally the opposite.
Yeah.
I had more, my birthday was Monday, I had more Facebook messenger, on my page, and text messages than I've ever had in my life. It's all because, you know, my buddies or friends or customers don't want anybody to think that. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's more the opposite than it would ever be. Yeah. I'd say it's 100 to 1.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you.
The people that I'm more apt to know, my buddy's got something, because I have not heard nothing.
Yeah.
For at least 2 weeks.
And that's respect. I mean, you know, bring them and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got enough faith in me and Jeremy or whoever to know that we beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, that hog wins.
It was great to get a fresh eye on these hogs. You know, these are bears that Brandon and I have never seen. We didn't follow. We didn't know the past records. We were looking at them that day, that minute, that class.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way that I would want it if my kid was coming into that ring.
That's the kind of judge you want to show.
Yes, sir.
Jeremy, is this your first Midwest State Fair?
It is, yes.
Welcome to the Midwest, sir.
I was lucky enough to do the Gilt Show last weekend, but this is my first bear show in the Midwest, it was quite an experience.
I'll tell you this, I've heard a lot of good compliments, not just about you, Jeremy, but about the job that you both did together. Welcome to the Midwest. I think you're going to get a lot more phone calls.
Thank you, sir.
Like you guys say, meshing that. I mean, Jeremy and I have known each other for a long time. I mean, we were talking about this when I got here. You know, he was at JUCO, I was at JUCO. We kind of knew each other. And then we got to senior college. Who became my coach was Oklahoma State's former assistant.
Yeah.
So when we started traveling at Michigan State, we traveled with OSU a lot. Well, Jeremy was on that team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've known who he was throughout the years. Last year, when I got asked back rather quickly after this, they said, give me three names in an order. And I give him three names, and I said, you give me one of them three, you don't need an order. And Jeremy was on there, and it's worked out
That's
great.
That's awesome.
And one of the reasons I knew we'd get along is he's got along well under me when I've judged out there, blindly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, right. We've talked five times this year because we're going to judge together.
Right.
Maybe more than that here recently, but we don't call each other. We both got enough. He's got a family. I can't do anything with four kids, but it's still been just kind of a natural thing. And you guys know, well, you guys hosted this, know, like, Andy Rash is a close personal friend of mine.
Yep.
I argued more. Oh, yeah. Him had more quote unquote constructive criticism or recommendations to one another last year than Jeremy and I did. And it wasn't either one of us being submissive to each other. It's pretty much just being within a couple ahead each time.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And I asked him, this is one of my first experiences to judge a show of this magnitude with another one. And I asked him at dinner the first night, I said, is this normal? Is this typical? And he started telling me stories, and he got a little more animated whenever we were eating dinner, but it's not. And
coming from the Buckeye State, and trust me, I'm a diehard Buckeye, there will be nothing like the ring you're about ready to step into here in Indiana.
I mean, that's Illinois is a proud state. I feel like we've closed the gap, but I can tell you what, talking about the purebreds yesterday and the crossbred depth, the depth today of crossbreds was amazing. I haven't evaluated a set of breed hogs like this, purebreds, across the board since I've been in a Southwest major.
Wow.
It was
Let's
very,
go.
Very
Indiana.
Good.
Nice.
Well, hey. Take a second and take my point of view. I'm from Oklahoma.
Well, guys.
You know, breed hogs is kind of like a bad word where we come from. And we show them, and we try to hit it in a place or two. But, you know, our meat and potatoes is the crossbreds.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in the show pig business, you're probably raising crossbred show pigs with a couple of minor breeds just to diversify your herd, period. And so to have the chance to look at the number of breed hogs that we did and the quality, my mind was blown.
Yeah.
I've never obviously experienced that where I come from. And that was a treat. It was fun to see that many elite show pigs that were solid white with down ears or Berkshires or red. We just don't get that down there. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been some amazing purebreds that's come out of Oklahoma, but we're not known for it.
Yeah.
And coming here, that was a fun experience to be a part of.
He said minor breed twice. I hope Jack Wall don't listen to this podcast.
Well, this is an awesome deal, and I appreciate you stepping in the stock talk here before we get started. Have fun tonight. It's going to be a heck of a scene, Brandon, welcome back, and welcome to the new kind of deal. So we won't keep much more of your time. The lights are dimming here, so I think we're getting close. So thanks for jumping on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Man, it really kind of pissed me off. I love those guys, but they would not spill the beans.
I know. We tried. We beat around the bush as hard as possible, but we tried.
Yeah,
They were tough.
I don't know if there's anything else to be said. I mean, those two guys, you know, for Mr. Cantrell not having too many judging experiences in the Midwest, and to do what he did, if you were not there and just witnessed the job that he did, he was efficient when he needed to be. He took his time on the classes that deserved just a little bit more careful evaluation. He worked extremely well with the kids, and he talked to them accurately. And that's all you can ask for a show judge.
Yeah. And they even mentioned, if you watched on Walton webcasting at the crossbred drive, how well they actually worked together. And it was kind of fun to have those guys that you guys just listened to before the drive, because they were in tune the entire time. And there was some good discussion. So if you haven't heard, the Grand Barra and champion overall was the crossbred shown by Erica Newhouse, bred by Knoth, and was a Rule 21. And then we got a special gift for you here. We sat down with our only exhibitor and happened to be the reserve overall Barra. which was...
And the breeder of that hog as well.
And the breeder, yes. So we sat down with the reserve overall, which was the champion Duroc, and that was Vade Dishman, bred by Beck, and that was a 38 special. Happens to be the one that also won Louisville. So we grabbed them right after they came out of the ring and decided to chat with them about what it was like. Kid was still in awe. I think he was really in shock. And, you know, it was kind of cool to have Adam there by his side. So we have that audio for you as well. Here they are.
Vade Dishman's in the house, exhibiting your reserve grand champion barrow overall. We could call that the champion purebred, I guess, too.
Yeah,
considering the crossbred barrow did win. And Mr. Adam Beck, the breeder of said show pig. Vade, this thing won Louisville and comes to Indiana, looks arguably better than he did at Louisville, and gets slapped for a reserve grand. What is the emotion behind the story behind this barrow and winning a big one in the summer and then coming here his final drive and getting it done as well?
I think it's a pretty big deal, but I don't know. I mean, I feel pretty pumped about it, and I know my buddy feels pretty pumped about it because it took all summer, and it was a long but fun ride to get here. So,
now, did you walk into the show barn, and Beck says, hey, this is the one you got to have, or did you just say, hey, listen, Beck, I'm taking this one with me?
I didn't get to see him when he was little. The guy that helps us out got to see him, but when he got home, I was impressed that he picked that one.
Yeah,
so. There you go.
So, Adam, what is the pedigree behind this one?
Vade's barrow is sired by 38 Special, which is a boar that I raised last year. He was a stand tall. He's the one. And then the mother would be a different deal, Indian Outlaw. At Indian Outlaw, Sal was a world record selling Duroc gilt. We bought it at Springfield in 2016.
Oh, wow.
A little power in the blood there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We interviewed the judges there before the show, and they would not spill the beans. We tried really hard, but they're like, you know, there's some beers out there that's going to be horsing it. So, it was awesome. We saw that one there in Louisville, and you stuck him just as good here. So, you've put the miles on that thing. Did you do any jackpot shows too?
Yeah, he went to about four jackpots, and every time he's either champion or reserve.
Yeah,
and
top I can imagine.
Five,
so.
There you go. Okay, so as a showman, What can you tell to breeders or other people trying to buy livestock? Vade, your experience being able to work with a firm like Adam Beck and Family Show Pigs, the guys that help find hogs for you guys, how does that all kind of work? And where do you see yourself fitting in, you know, in the grand scheme of things?
Well, that's a hard question.
That's loaded, man.
Man, somebody's got to ask the tough ones.
But, I mean, I see myself in the scheme of things as, like, just, I don't know.
You're putting in the work. We'll say that. You're putting in the work.
There's no doubt. You know, sometimes when it all happens, and I would say you're kind of in the heat of the moment now, you're probably going to look back at this and like, man, I think it just slept on it, and it happened overnight. Yeah. But there's no doubt. Like when you're in the ring, you can tell that you're out there to win.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really it's impressive when all those kids get out there and they do that.
Are there words to describe a moment to another showman or to somebody maybe that's a little bit older than you or younger than you that may never have this opportunity?
It's very bittersweet. I mean, it's hard to go through what just happened in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool.
That's awesome. Well, mm-hmm. Congratulations, man. Huge deal. You'll go to Sale Champions now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck there. And thanks for jumping on.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Hey, Beck.
Yes, sir.
Before we leave.
Yeah.
Is this barra the best one you've ever raised?
Most definitely.
Wow.
Yep. One of the unique creatures we've been able to put together is definitely a fun hog. And I'll tell you, I can't say enough about Vade and what he means to our program and what he's done. He bought his first pigs from us when he first came in and showing 4-H. Bought a barrow from us, was reserve granted his county, and has worked extremely hard. And just the amount of time and hours that he puts in to making that hog the best that he can is unparalleled. So,
wow.
Great young kid from a great family. So, it takes everybody together to make it all happen, and they definitely do a phenomenal job.
That's awesome. Yeah, Vade, you could tell, dude, you had that thing dialed in and did not miss a step out there except maybe one time. I caught it on the sidelines. It was like, you maybe were trying to like change sides or something. I was like, ah, man, lost it right there. No, I'm just messing with you, dude. Hey, you did an awesome job. Beck, congratulations, you guys.
Thanks, man.
As always, probably should have left the seeds in that one, but
been a question of the century. Well, congratulations on reserve champion with your Duroc Barra.
You know, Vade Dishman is not a very good interviewee. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, come on. Give the poor kid a break.
Man, I tell you what, he kind of had like that deer in the headlights look, like everything was still just surreal to him, that you almost kind of feel bad interviewing somebody like that. That is obviously he'd been there. Obviously not in the grand drive for Indy getting selected reserve barra, but, he's been in a position of winning before, but it was just funny. Cause it's like, yes, the, like the old Disney World commercials and, you know, oh, you just graduated from high school with a 4.8 GPA. What are you going to do next? Like, I'm going to Disneyland. Like,
but no, if you win a show of this magnitude, it probably takes a little bit of time for a showman that just walked out of the ring to be able to have words. You know,
yep.
I thought it was, I mean, the young man works his tail off, and that's very evident. And I kind of said that what you guys just listened to was, you know, you are obviously into it. You got after it. And, you know, I don't think it's sunk in at the point where we interviewed him. So, but then it was kind of cool to hear Adam's backstory with the sow and whatnot there. So,
right.
Very good hog show. I thought, this was my very first Indiana State Fair. For those who didn't know, that was, quite the experience. I am definitely going back. It kind of butts up to the Grand Drive there at Columbus, but, you know, if you studied Grand Drive to Grand Drive, like, we were in the right spot. Nothing against Columbus.
Nope.
I love it. Born and raised. But, man, everybody kind of needs to follow the footsteps of the Indiana State Fair when it comes to grand drives.
Well, it's something different for the Midwest. But the thing is, too, that I thought was super cool is, you know, even some of the guys that we didn't get to talk to or interview on the show and bring them on for this episode, I still had a chance to just kind of talk to the families and you know, the Godemiller family, if you could have seen the reaction, you know, of mom and dad and just being there.
Tears and hugs and
just, oh, it was awesome. Yeah. And, you know, I went in the back by the picture when they were taking pictures and congratulated the Market Lamb exhibitors. And, you know, if you haven't been paying attention, Lane Slayton also won the Market Lamb show last year under Brent Titus. With one that Brent called probably one of the best ones and unique individuals he's had an opportunity to judge. And he won it again this year. Matter of fact, you know, we had two families that had the top four sheep at the Indiana State Fair. Pretty unique and speaks volumes to the quality of those exhibitors and the hard work that it takes to get there. So, and, you know, went back to shake Lane's hand and congratulate him. And I think he was still in shock too. So, I mean,
right.
I think it happens to them all, even if they've done it before, which is super cool. So if you're listening and you don't realize that it truly does take a village to get something won. I mean, you heard Vade talk about, you know, they had somebody help them find that barra. They had, obviously, lots of people sharing advice and feeding instruction and that sort of thing, because to keep one held together from Louisville to Indiana is not easy.
Oh, so. My. Yeah, that don't happen overnight. And you know, speaking more of the lamb drive, I feel terrible that I lost that audio because we did dig into that. But I will share with you guys a little bit of what was said over the microphone and through the loudspeaker, because I don't see very many sheep shows, but my gosh, there was a ton. How many was there total out there?
Oh, dude. I mean, here's the thing is Simpson had to pull out his three toughest divisions, which were the the natural color, the crossbred, and the Hampshire. And so he had to pull all three of those out because I think there was probably 22 or 23 of them in line to sort from. So,
yeah, I that would blew me away. That was one of the questions I asked him just to kind of tell you what was said. But I was, you know, there was four that he pulled apart or pulled out of the lineup to kind of bring together. And he was like, well, one of them was clear down the left end and the, you know, two were right over clear down the other end. And then there's one in the middle. So I had to bring them all together and make my decision. So, boy, the one that wins that deal is a freak too. And, you know, it's unique. They had to go clear down what, eight spots, because there was, first through fourth overall was exhibited by two exhibitors.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, Lane had the champion and, fourth overall, and, Miss Gabby Rout had the reserve and third overall.
So in case you missed it on Walton, obviously, you should already be subscribed to go back and listen to it in good audio, but we happen to stand ringside and pick up what was said in the Markham Drive. Let's listen in.
These animals can go and compete at a level at any major stock show, any state fair. These kids are being raised right. There's nothing better than spending family time with your kids out there in the barn. We take this as a family project back home. We spend hours out there together. That's really our one chance where our family comes together every day, the three of us, and spend several hours in the barn working together, working on our projects. And I don't think there's anything better than family time, being able to raise these kids with these projects. I think if we had more of that happening, we can't get enough people involved in this industry. If we had more of that happening, we'd have a whole better country we live in today. But let's give all these folks a big round of applause for what they do after the
game. Well, although this has been quite the different episode, we must have topics from a hat, Corey.
Ooh, here we go. Topics from a hat. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two topics this afternoon, this evening, this morning, whenever you're listening. It's this evening for us, as Trevor and I are recording this piece, so you'll have to bear with
Corey,
us.
Do you go to Walmart to buy the hat that you pull your topics from?
I don't go to Walmart to buy my hats at
where,
all.
Where do you go?
I go to Fierce Threads. I go to Fierce Threads.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I've heard they do good work.
They do great work. Matter of fact, you know, you guys know by now, if you've listened to any of our episodes, Fierce Threads, that's where we get all of our apparel from. I want you to know something, though. I want you to know something. Tomorrow, when this, well, I say tomorrow, today is Wednesday in your world. Today is Tuesday in our world. Okay. So today, Wednesday, there are 9 days left, single digits, until the Big Paw Cattle Edition.
Oh, drops. Snap.
Yeah. So there's going to be a cattle line of apparel coming to you from Big Paw Lifestyle. Go check it out. Fierce-threads.com. Order some shiznit from those people. They're great people.
I'm jazzed.
Ooh. Jazz, like jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. All right. Trev, topics from a hat. Let's start off with maybe the easier one to answer. Okay. And then one that's going to be a little bit more lengthy just because of the nature of it. Okay. Number one. Brett on Insta sends us a message. I'm going to read you guys the message because it's kind of cool for us. Hey, guys. Just started listening to the podcast this past week. I'm 17 and have been showing pigs and raising and selling show calves for the past couple of years. Really enjoyed listening and learning from you and your guests. Probably not so much from us, but definitely our guests. I had a topic from the hat idea that I wanted to share. This, is it okay to pick a prospect steer or lighter weight barra to win a market show, even though there are good market-ready livestock in the final drive?
This is a good topic, actually.
Good topic. Because it does bring up some interesting points of conversation.
this may be one where we have to, we'll maybe not put back in the hat. We'll maybe keep this on the side because, you know, we judge a bunch of shows, but I'm sure he wants one of our guests to answer it as well. I'll shoot from the hip here. Good ones are good ones. Quality comes in all sizes. And if the prospect steer is the best one, he wins. If there is a jackpot shows, you got all sizes there anyway. But I go to many of these county fairs, and I'm not afraid to get down into the 240s or 50s or whatever, because if it's the best one, it should win. And another thing I'll point out is also, we've kind of said this a couple times there when we were commentating in Indiana, that it's really nice to have these feeders who are making their livestock fit their skeleton, where instead of the mindset of, well, 270 was the champ, 270 was the Barra champion last year, we got to be 270 this year. Well, you may have a more moderate, compact type of hog that needs to be a 40-50. So if you feed it right, if you monitor that, you stay in that weight range. And if it's a good one, it should win. That's my take, Brett. If you're listening, I think good livestock's good livestock. And although they may be market ready, there may be bigger ones. If the judge truly thinks, and in my mind, as I'm evaluating livestock, the ones that are the most flexible, comfortable, you hear it all the time, and they have the extras at a smaller weight actually makes them more unique. That's just my take.
I'm going to, I'm going to play, not bad cop. I'm not going to play bad cop because I do agree with you. But I will take maybe just a different spin, look at the other side of the coin for a second. If you are at, obviously we're talking jackpots and county fairs. This type of thing doesn't happen at state fair. And I understand that the Dishman hog that won Louisville was a lighter weight Red Barra. Okay. But if, as an evaluator, if you decide, that's the best piece of livestock there, that's what you got to use. You'd be doing a disservice to that breeder, that family, if you did not use that one because you thought it was just too lightweight. Now, if you're at a county fair and you have a nice calf, that's 12 o'clock, good handling, maybe just, some differences in structural build or whatever, that obviously you don't fall in love with, but they're good livestock and you've used them, you're in the champion drive. Then you've got a prospect that is high quality, but isn't there and also has holes. You know, at that standpoint, you got to ask yourself, well, is this one just unique enough? And can you, tell some futuristic, nobody has a crystal ball. So, that thing at a heavier weight could be worse. But right. For that day, if they are the better livestock, you got to use them. However, if they do have glaring holes or they do have issues, and you have something that's nice, not your favorite, but nice, and 12 o'clock, I guess that's your call to make on what you want to do. I don't think there's a right and a wrong. I do think you just got to use good livestock no matter what shape and size they are. So that's my take as well. Nice job. Thank you. Keep hustling. Keep listening. Appreciate you. Okay. Now, Trev, we have the email.
Oh, I can't wait. We have been wanting to pull this out for a while.
We have. Thought about putting it on a Patreon episode, but for...
Which you should listen to, by the way, if you're not a Patreon by now, patreon.com/StockTalkPodcast. That is our uncut, unfiltered episodes that have been very comical and serious at the same time.
Yeah, so we are getting more and more folks taking advantage of becoming a Patreon. Not only do you set yourself up for the ability to have ad-free episode listening every month, but you also have the chance to get some cool gear too.
Oh, yeah. All right. What's the email?
All right. Here we go. We had this email sent to us a little while back. And the title of said email reads, County Fairs Aren't Fair. How about that?
I'm interested.
Yes. So, that being said, Trevor and I both dug into this. Trevor actually read it first. He texted me, said, hey, we need to go through this and read this. So, we're going to keep our sender anonymous, but Trev, I'm going to read this email. It is lengthy. We got pictures sent with it. So to preface this, this pretty much goes to a conversation that we actually have at the end of our episode next week with Ryan Rash. And sorry, I had to name drop there. That's what's happening next week, in case anybody was wondering. He already posted it on Facebook, so it's not like it's a surprise.
No, I was actually just excited to get it out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that is something that we this type of conversation happens at the end of that episode, but not as in detail and not a real-world example, I guess, as such. Here we go. Bear with me. If you guys listen to Heartland Radio or Pat McAfee Show, you've probably heard the segment they do. Now here's an ad read by Zito. Zito has a struggle with words and comprehending sentences to make sense. So I promise you I'll try to do better.
You can paraphrase if you would like, bud.
Well, yeah. Here we go. You guys stepped forward to give the livestock industry a voice, to have a space to have these types of conversations within the digital space. So bear with me, but we will get to the conversation aspect. But first, here is what brought this on. Nice way to set things up. We recently wrapped up one of the neighboring county fairs where a lamb was placed to one of those hardworking, give it all you got, second year showman. A little backstory. 2018, she won overall showman her first year and took home a champion lamb banner. She was driven. Yeah. She was driven to keep up that success and worked hard to try to have a repeat year. Obviously, we all like to do that. She had a great summer going to jackpots, running with some of the pretty strong kids and holding her own, and of course, getting a little better each week. By fair time, she had it down. The leg placement, the showman look, the stare down, the hard sticking brace, the quick trot around the ring. It was all executed. Fast forward to county fair. Our favorite time of the year, Trev.
Oh, boy.
The little girl is out in the drive for junior showman. Even though she placed second in her age group behind a kid that maybe knew the fundamentals but wasn't on the same caliber. So she gets second in showmanship in her class. And then when she comes back for the overall drive, she ends up getting picked for junior showman, which, to much their delight, seemed like a redeeming choice. The little girl keeps with it and turns it up a little bit more. And when the senior and intermediates hit the ring for overall, she is making that lamb dig a deeper, harder brace. Her transition, switching sides are smoother. Her awareness was heightened. She was simply crushing it. So she's going up against all these other older showmen after she was just selected for junior showmanship. The judge eventually takes the mic and talks about how it's possible for these young kids to beat out the older ones and how impressive it is to hear a young kid talk about how she likes the elevation and openness of her sheep when she was asked what she likes about her project. So this little girl seems pretty talented, especially compared to some of the older kids. And so the judge is describing the fact that it is definitely possible for a young kid to beat out the older ones. That's the preface of setting someone up for selection. In my opinion, if you say something like that,
well, you would think
typically that's what you're going to do. So then in parentheses, she says, also, when asked about a problem in the industry, the little girl brought up the dwarf genes occurring, but the judge on the mic brings up market prices. I mean, both very good topics. The hottest topic, though, right now in the show lamb industry is not market prices, because we
definitely, to be honest, the dwarf
could give a shit less. So definitely the dwarf gene. Okay. So the judge continues to talk about the showmanship drive and is really putting her focus towards their younger showman and brings up how she can see that as time goes on, you can see them wanting it even more. The judge goes out and shakes the hand of her two senior showmen. So she says, then after picking my heart up, we chalked it up as, who knows, maybe she was scared and maybe she thought she liked the lamb enough to use him in class, because sadly there are quote unquote those judges. So it was announced that at 26 years old, she was judging for 14 years and was a part of a collegiate livestock judging team. Okay. After a quick look at her farm page, we knew that we were in for it, but we were hoping that you can't look past one that we thought was pretty dang good and dialed in just about as good as we could have gotten him. Thank goodness for big appetites, gold dust, and wet feeding. Gold dust, you have to pay us 20 cents for that ad read. All right, so then she says in quotation or in parentheses, the Snapchat picture was taken after crossing the scale. So this is pictures that Trevor and I got. We won't release them, but if you're interested, we could probably show you in person sometime. It is quite the difference. So they took a Snapchat picture after they crossed the scales in the morning. So obviously not near as good as what the lamb looked like on show day after, you know, getting them juiced up. So time came around and they ended up even more disappointed. Classes were picked okay, but it really wasn't hard to tell that she was underqualified. So there was a young lady judging the show. And she thinks that everybody was frustrated beyond belief. By the time the heavyweights showed up, there was a complete disregard for structural integrity. A member from her collegiate judging team contacted their coach and eventually apologized on her behalf to the family for poor representation.
Wow.
Yeah. This does happen, and understandably so. And as a young show judge, I think Trevor and I both understand that you got to earn your stripes. And obviously, I think this could have been a great learning experience for this individual who we have no idea who it is. It's just a lot of anonymity happening in this. So, her judging coach apologized on her behalf for the poor representation. She said, this lady here that emailed us said that the fair, has had decent judges in the past, but really missed on this one. I promise we get it. There is one winner, and judging is not easy by any means. There's a lot of hopes and dreams, though. They can get wrapped up in hanging a banner, and what she witnessed wasn't the industry that she knows. So then she goes on to say, I guess my questions for possible discussion is, what responsibility do judges have to be transparent in reasons? Let's answer that question first.
Okay. So when I got the email, this is the email. Yeah. I thought, oh boy, here we go. Here's another county fair family who's pissed off about another judge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was my thought.
Yep.
This email's long and I'm not the reader. I was like, you know what? This is probably a hot topic. I skimmed through it and I was like, okay, skim doesn't do the justice. Let's read it. So I sat down and read the whole thing twice.
Yeah. Because
that's what I have to do. Soon to find out, not only did I read the email, look at the pictures that were sent, I went to the Facebook link that was also sent with it that represented the judge's farm page. Okay. So after doing this, I was redirected to Facebook. The profile picture has an ungodly fat wether with a tail, like a nub tail.
Nub, extra vertebrae.
Yeah, and need I say more? So, all right, I get it. There's different judges out there, whatever. I got some things on my mind about this deal. I believe, I don't know where this family is from, where whatever, it doesn't matter. There is more and more fair boards. There's more great ones than there is bad, trust me. They're mostly all really good, but there's a lot of them trying to find judges that don't know anybody, or they want politics to stay out of it, and rightfully so. This is what you get when you try to find a judge that doesn't know anybody. If you don't know anybody in the livestock industry, why the hell are you in the show ring? So that's where I get a little fired up, because A, their qualifications weren't there. They probably needed to do a couple smaller shows or do more practice at home, or talk to their JUCO judging coach, whatever it may be. I mean, it probably wasn't the young girl's fault. Maybe she was inexperienced, playing devil's advocate there. But what really makes me frustrated, and apologize for getting a little too aggressive there before, but Corey and I were in that 20-something range, okay? Well, the next time a young person walks into that show arena to do the next show, everybody in that ring that just witnessed what happened there is going to think, oh boy, here's another young one that doesn't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah,
that's what frustrates me. So there's more good than there is bad. I've said that about the fair board members and the people running shows. Trust me, it's hard as heck to put on a show, and it's probably not their fault, but do your homework.
Yeah,
do your homework. Because, like, honestly,
if you go to the farm page that we had the link sent to us, and you look at the lamb that she used to win, eerily similar type of sheep.
Yeah, no kidding. Just let's put this to bed right now. If you are part of a show, any species, and you're trying to find a judge that doesn't know anybody there, they probably don't belong there. Now, I've been to shows where I don't know people there, and I try to work my way up. I think I'm doing decent, but let's not focus on the politics behind it, because those people who play into that crap sort themselves out anyway.
Yeah.
So let's get somebody who knows how to do livestock, that are good with kids, that are friendly, they're well-spoken, well-dressed, and are doing a good job within the industry. If they know somebody there, and there's politics that need to be played, guess what? They're not asked back, and you're going to tell all your friends.
Yep, exactly. So, to the question of what responsibility do judges have to be transparent in reasons, I say this.
Sorry, beat around the bush.
You're good. They have 100% responsibility. Now, that also goes to, part of the word responsibility is ability. And if you don't have ability to be transparent in reasons because you don't know how to describe livestock, or you are maybe confused, or you just aren't ready for the position you're in, like Trevor said, kind of hard. But livestock judges have 100% responsibility to be transparent in reasons, to describe what they are seeing. And I understand that at point in time comes where from the outside, somebody may not be able to see something, especially on market lambs and steers. You cannot be in the ring with the judge handling those sheep or handling those steers or right on top of those barrows and gilts to see how much shape and just true density they have in the upper parts of their skeleton. And so when you're describing those livestock, it's important to make sure that you are extremely transparent in the differences that you see, the differences that you're willing to tolerate in what you like in a general build of livestock. So, good question. So the email goes on. Here's another question. And Trevor, you kind of started this, but what systems are in place in other county fairs to ensure that this doesn't happen? And I will tell a personal story here. I got a phone call from a county, and this has been a few years ago, wanted me to come judge their sheep show. And the guy that asked me, he said, before I make you an offer to come and judge our show, I need to know a few things. He asked me where I was from. He asked me my involvement in the show lamb industry, how many years I've been doing it, where I went to school, who I judged with, my success, just kind of get my resume on what made me capable to judge their show. And to be honest, I'd never had that happen to me before or since, but that was kind of cool.
That's your homework.
Yep, that's doing your homework. And the other thing is, you know, I don't think this is a thing in place, because most of the times county fairs, they have their fair office or somebody from their extension board or an extension director make the phone calls at the county fair level. And most of those people aren't familiar or involved directly in the show stock industry. And so they don't have a knowledge of who's good and who's not, or
right,
what makes somebody qualified and what doesn't. And so that's something that needs to happen. I think getting the folks, the superintendents involved, have everybody create a list. I mean, we talk about this and it's just in our next week's episode, and it's just that important to create a list of people at the county fair level. Here's who the kids want to show to. Here's who the superintendents are comfortable with. And that'll give you options. And then select from that group. That's that easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of shocking that there is no like qualifications or school. Like, obviously there's JUCO and senior college that prepares you, and if you do both of those, you are prepared. But like in the dairy cattle world, there's a judge's card, you know, like you have to pass this test or whatever. I don't know the details of it, but it is surprising in the livestock world, and I know there's probably more of them, but there's no qualifications that get you to judge shows. It's pretty strictly word of mouth. But in the same sense, like, I'm sure that this email spread pretty quickly. I mean, I'm sure we're not the only ones that she told. And the fact that the coach had to apologize, hopefully that young show judge can take a step back and learn a little bit more before she jumps back in the ring. It was a female judge, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a really good topic, and it's something that, you know, needs to be thought about. But there really isn't a set rule of, hey, you have to do this many years in order to judge shows. But these smaller jackpots, these county fairs, are kind of the precursor to get you into regionals, national, state fair shows. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think we could put this one to bed, Trev. I mean, she kind of goes on to talk, and this is what made this email kind of valid in our books, because obviously, as Trevor said earlier, oh, here we go, just another county fair person that, you know, is pissed off at the judges and all this other stuff because they didn't win. They had a legit reason, and they go on to say in the email, like, we get it. It's not Louisville. It's not a state fair, but there has to be some level of responsibility that the fair board, whoever selects the judges, the extension offices need to be held accountable for getting the right people in there to do the best job to represent, you know, because at that point, and I think what we all try to do as breeders and as people that want to have influence on the industry is, man, it really sucks when you go into a county fair and you sort that show or whatever, and at the end of the day, nobody walks away learning something new.
Exactly. And it's our duty.
Yep. And if you send somebody in there that isn't ready to do something at that level, you're creating even more of a disconnect between the knowledge, the skilled, and the people that have no clue.
Preach. Love it. Great topics.
Yeah. Thank you for that email. Boy, that was kind of cool. We've gotten a few other emails. Some we're probably just not going to dive into, but ladies and gentlemen, if you have a topic that you would like Trevor and I to discuss amongst ourselves with our guests, let us know. Send us messages. Drop an email to that stocktalkpodcast@gmail.com. Look us up on those social media platforms and send us messages there. Yeah. And our website, stocktalk-podcast.com. while you're looking to get your merch, you can also send us messages through the website too.
Hey, you're listening to this and thinking, where the heck is my gear that I ordered last week?
Yeah. Where is my gear, Trev?
Give me a little bit of time. We were in Indiana. Uh-huh. I didn't have Wi-Fi until about an hour ago. The tech left because we were down with Wi-Fi and all this BS. So finally have internet, which means I can finally print off shipping labels, which means I'm going to get you your merch today. I'm shipping it out today.
I would like everybody to be aware that if anybody is upset about this, please attack Trevor and not me.
Yeah, because I do all the work. That's why.
That's why. Exactly. That's exactly right. I'll hold you accountable for things I don't do. No, man. Hey, dude, if you guys realize how much Trevor does for this podcast, you'd probably crap your pants. I mean, the level of knowledge that he's had to just self-teach himself off of how to edit these things and put stuff together, mind-blowing. I'm glad I don't have to do it.
Well, it is currently 8:40 on Tuesday, folks, that are listening to this. I know it's Wednesday for you guys. In order for me to get this together, we better end pretty soon because I got to edit it, which means I got to load it by midnight tonight, or we're going to have some pretty mad listeners, because those who wait up till midnight, they need it. Yep. So I'm going to give it to them.
Well, here's the thing. We have one last story to tell you guys before we go, and this comes from the Indiana State Fair. We were walking with our gear across the fairgrounds behind a smelly dumpster, and we were headed to the Coliseum floor to get set up, and a young man stopped us. And this particular young man, friend of the show, never got his name, don't know who he is. He was wearing a Foot Farms hat, though. I did recognize that. Holding a sign that says, Cheech was reserved in the show, but he's grand in our hearts. I believe he was a show pig, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Poland, maybe?
Yep.
Reserve Poland. So. Anyways, this young man was holding a sign. I said, dude, your sign's cool. And he goes, hey, guys, you're the Stock Talk guys. Hey, I listen to you every week, man. You guys are doing awesome stuff. And we're like, yeah, thanks, man. And we're like, just kind of keep walking. And then he says, hey, can I get a picture with you guys? And at that moment, I realized it was kind of a wild experience for us, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought that would have happened in my lifetime.
No.
But it happened.
Like the only reason.
And,
the only reason somebody would like stop and ask me for a picture is either they're extremely short and I'm not, or maybe I have just like this weird ketchup stain on my shirt, like I was walking around with at the Indiana State Fair on Saturday.
Yeah, no, that was cool. That, I mean, Emily really, she kind of laughed at us like, boy, you are popular now, but no, that's not why we're doing this, but that was pretty cool.
That's cool. But if you guys, if you do see us at shows around, out and about, please talk to us. I mean, we love to talk with you guys and interact. We think it means a lot to us to know that what we're doing is valuable to you guys and you're enjoying the content that we're just spewing out of our mouths and the folks that we're collecting for interviews. So thank you guys. We love y'all. Again, go check out StockTalk-Podcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook.
That's right. Well, folks, you're going to be in for a treat next week as well. You were just had a little bit of a treat today that we've gathered at the Indiana State Fair. Ryan Rash is with us next week as we also we're going to cover, as we always do, Corey and I, on every 10th episode. We're going to recap a little bit. So with that being said, folks, keep continuing to share the word. Get out there and talk about Stock Talk. All right, guys, we'll catch you later. This has been another edition of Stock Talk. I gotta go.